Acts chapter 15, turn to it if you have your Bibles. This is a critical passage. And I want to introduce it before I get into it, because it talks about something that's 2,000 years old, obviously. We're in a story that's 2,000 years old. But it's something that really applies to today, and we'll look at that in a few moments. But right after church today, we're going to do a baptism service. We're going to do it different than we have in the past. Usually we go down to the beach, as I've told you, and the beach has been pretty difficult lately, although it's gorgeous today down there. Usually it turns in late April and becomes beautiful down there, but it's beautiful now. But we couldn't plan on that, so we're going to do it right next door at Starlight. So we're going to end a little early today. We'd love for you, if you're not being baptized, to just walk across the street, the side street. You go down, walk to the right, about 100 yards, there'll be people there. There's a big pool in the middle of that complex next door, and we're going to baptize about a dozen people. If you have been thinking about being baptized and hadn't planned on it, you're welcome to as well. And I want to just explain baptism, because it has to do with Acts 15. We baptize people in this church with two things in mind. Number one, it's for believers in Jesus Christ. We have a belief that in order to be baptized, you need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That means that you have the word accepted, that's kind of a, put it in quotes, accepted as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ, that you personally believe in Jesus Christ. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you should be baptized. What is baptism? We baptize by immersing. In fact, the Greek word baptizo means, in Latin as well, means to submerge or immerse. And the reason we do that is it's a picture. The picture is this: water, a person, and then another person doing the baptism. You cannot self-baptize. And I've seen pictures of people just kind of dunking themselves down and up. It misses the whole point. The point of this is that the water represents death. The person being baptized represents themselves. And then the pastor or deacon or someone else who's doing the baptizing represents God. The person baptizing is not God, but it represents God. He represents God. And so when I'm going to baptize today, Jody's also going to do some baptizing. We have children being baptized, and young adults and adults, whatever. And so when we bring someone under the water, it shows their death, their physical death. And then when I or Jody pull them back up out of the water, it's the hand of God pulls them out of the water to new life. It's a representation. It's not really new life. It doesn't make you saved, but it is a picture of you dying to yourself and then God raising you up through his son, Jesus Christ. And you're raised to new life. Again, it's a picture, and it's a beautiful picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. But as we have our death, our spiritual burial, and then our physical resurrection, or our spiritual resurrection at this point, excuse me, our spiritual resurrection back to new life. And that's what it's about. So when you see us over there, we would love for you to come and observe, be a part, to celebrate these people who are being baptized. Cameron will give us the details at the end. Also at the end, just so you know, there'll be people here to pray. Michael and his teams will be down here to pray. I'm going to go off the side so I can change into some shorts, and I'll go across the way. If you want to speak to me, just come across the way, and we'll have plenty of time to talk afterwards. It'll take about 30 minutes to do it, so if you have other plans, it's not all afternoon. Now, Acts chapter 15. Big conflict occurs in the early church. It's good to know that they had conflict, because we have conflict in the 21st century, and how do they deal with it? Chapter 15, verse 1. But some men came down from Judea, and we believe to Antioch, and were teaching the brothers, and this is what they were teaching. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Let's stop there. This is the problem. The Jerusalem Christians, some of them, not all of them, we learn later they're the ones that kind of came out of the Pharisees, so it's great to know Pharisees came to the Lord, but what they said was, in order for a person to come to Christ who was not a Jew, they had to become a Jew before they could come to Christ. In other words, it was Jesus plus something. Before you could get Jesus, you had to do the plus one. The plus one was you had to be circumcised. Now, obviously, it was for men. The male of the family had to be circumcised. Then they could be prepared, and they would be, if I could put this in quotes, clean enough to become a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, that's an interesting concept. To come to Christ, you have to come through something else and then go to Christ. After Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, that's a double negative, that means a large dissension, and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others who were appointed went up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. The problem is this: does it take something else for someone to come to Christ? That's the question. Does it? What's the answer? No. The answer is no. Now, why did they do this? So before we kind of slice them apart and say they're bad people, which they were, but before we do that, let's find out why they did it. Well, because in the Old Testament, in order to become a Jew, if you were a Gentile, you were circumcised. And there's a lot of people in the Old Testament and throughout the history from Abraham to Jesus' time who were Gentiles who became Jews, and you could become Jews. It was called proselytizing. You could proselytize and become a Jew if you were circumcised as an adult male. And so to become a Jew from Gentile, you were circumcised. So they're just saying, well, to become a Christian, you have to become circumcised, and then you can become a Christian. Now, if you were from a Jewish family, it was still the same thing, except you did it when the first week of your life. So as a baby, you're born into a Jewish family back in the Old Testament, and even today, you're born in a Jewish family, and you're circumcised because you're born in a Jewish family, and circumcision is the rite, R-I-T-E, of becoming a part of that family. We have Jewish people in our neighborhood, and we went to, what's it called, the Brisk? Thank you. We went to the Brisk, across the street. I actually went to the dining room table and watched it happen. It was amazing. They circumcised them right there on the dining room table. And the rabbi was a doctor, don't worry. It was all clean and everything. But they did it, and he was circumcised into the Jewish family. Well, how are we circumcised into the Christian family, if I can use that word in quotes? How is it? We are not circumcised into the Christian family through physical circumcision. Why? Because circumcision